Hello and welcome to Metapod, the podcast where we bring you hard, cold truths.
Mm-hmm.
Like the fact that Sting sounds like Bono.
Does Sting sound like Bono to you?
Yeah.
Huh.
There was a... Oh, yeah, and it's also the podcast where we talk about Metabots, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
But no, so there's a new guitar nerd alert for everybody out there to tune back in 30 seconds. there's a new flanger pedal, which is basically just a... Looks to be just like a rebranded Electric Mistress from Electro-Harmonix.
Mm.
It's an Andy Summers signature flange
cool.
pedal, walking on the moon pedal. And
I really like his guitar stuff.
I do too. So my dad listened to a lot of like classic rock radio growing up before all he listened to was like conservative talk radio.
There's a pipeline.
Oh, there's definitely a pipeline. So like the Police were one of those bands that I was familiar with like at least their like radio work, but I didn't really know it was the Police other than like Roxanne. Like okay, I know that Message in a Bottle was a Police song, but it didn't click in my head that like, oh yeah, the SOS song is that song and that's a Police
song.
Yeah. So
they've got a lot of good shit. I really like them. Sting is easily the lowest common denominator there, which is weird because he's the most famous.
Right. That's how it goes. But, so I saw that ad and I was like, I'm going to watch a couple Police videos. I never really, like, paid them too much deliberate attention. And so I watched some performance in, like, 2008 in the reunion tour or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that's the sweet spot for the Police.
Well, it's like, okay, it's going to be, like, modern audio and camera and stuff. Like, I watched something from the 70s. It could be just, like, some horrible, like, fifth-generation film that somebody taped over a porn on or something and, like, you know, put on YouTube. It's like, okay, at least I know it's going to be, like, quality as far as the things that don't have to do with the Police are concerned. And, yes, Sting in that performance sounds like Bono from the 80s, not necessarily like Bono now.
Yeah, I get it. No, I was kind of already on board whenever you said it the first time. But, yeah, I guess, yeah, they both got that kind of, I don't know what the word is.
Sting's not Irish. I know he's like...
No, he's English.
I know he's English, but he's not like Irish or something,
no,
right?
No, no,
okay. Because
no.
I don't know if it's like an Irish thing. They've got that like kind of a whale thing. Like their vowels are exaggerated in kind of the same way.
Yeah. The We Were Promised Jetpacks isms.
Yeah.
No, but Sting was a English teacher for a while.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mr. Sting.
Which is weird because if you know the content of the song, Don't Stand So Close to Me.
No, I do, but the listeners don't. So
yeah,
tell them.
So, well, listener, it's a song very explicitly about a teacher that is in an inappropriate relationship with a student.
Mm.
And so he doesn't want her to stand so close to him in public. You know, it's just, I don't want to say it's art imitating life.
Because you don't want to say it's art.
But it's a really good song. Don't stand so, don't stand so close to me. You know, of all the genres that white people have stolen from black people, that one, I think, Regatta de Blanc, as you might call it, is listenable to me. It's eminently listenable. I also think that music it's meant to be like derivative,
right?
But it's just, you know, you can't wedge it out of the like material context that it comes out of either.
I think in general, it's between like reggae and hip hop for me of like which are the genres that white people have stolen specifically from black people that we've done fucking nothing with.
Yeah.
Like, it, because,
well, I guess
if you white developed reggae just becomes ska,
which is just faster. And right. Well, I mean, there's already horns in reggae, so right. it's just faster. It's like, yeah, it's in the 80s, we were just on too much cocaine and just speeding this shit up, which is, yeah, sure. But I also don't know if any of these, like, musical, I don't know, like, the genre stuff always, like, springs out of one specific culture.
Right.
You know, in its nascent forms, like, in the most earnest way. So, like, everything that happens beyond that is inevitably derivative, and you're gonna get some white people mixed up in that shit. You're gonna get some. I'm sorry.
You're gonna get some hop-ons, and you're gonna get some white people.
You're gonna get some white people hopping on to your cultural movement, and it's just gonna happen. I'm sorry. I don't like it.
Speaking of white people hopping onto your culture movement, I guess. Actually, no, because we're watching an anime right now.
So continuing that thread.
You're right.
Manama!
We're watching episode 19, Enter Rintaro.
Ooh.
I think, based on context of where we are in the story, I think I have an idea of who Rintaro might be. But do you want to take any guesses, any ganders?
Rintaro. I want to say it's another rare metal Metabot. One that maybe has a personality akin to our two main Metabots that we've run into, Rakusho and Metabee.
Yeah.
Possibly not. Could be another Meta Fighter that's going to sort of be the... Oh, maybe it's the Super X or whatever, the...
Oh, Space Meta Fighter X?
Space Meta Fighter X that we had hinted at in the previous episode.
That's possible. I know he'll be, like, showing up in person soon, but I'm not sure what episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, first guess, Rintaro has a rare metal, which I think might be a good guess. You know, they make a big deal of, like, the most Metabots not having a personality, and you don't see many of them, but, like... Brass and Neutronurse, there's not around much, but they seem to have personality.
Do they? Brass just kind of is just concerned about Erika, it seems. And that may just be like programming.
Right. Yeah, that's fair.
And I haven't heard much from Neutronurse. That may be the case, though. Who knows? Has Neutronurse said anything?
I'm trying to remember if she has to this point or not. I think you're in general correct, though, that just in their interactions with Erika and Karen, respectively, not as much as Metabee or Rokusho.
Yeah, they haven't
fair point.
Used bugs as analogies for their metaphors for life, so.
Right.
Yeah, they haven't gotten the Woody Allen implant yet, at the very least. Fucking. Yeah.
So, but speaking of Mr. Fighter X,
maybe it's Karen, like the way it was last time, the secret fighter.
Oh, you think? Okay. I was going to say, do you think he's going to show up, or she is going to show up this week? But we're going to... Karen is Space Meta Fighter X. any other gambles or predictions or
gambles? Mr. Referee is going to be revealed to have an estranged son who he tried to get to follow him into the refereeing profession, but he wanted to, I don't know, he wanted to sail boats. And so he abandoned his father's cause.
Abandoned the family business.
For the siren song of the sea.
All right. Well, yeah, let's go find out how we did. As always, you can watch this episode on YouTube with us right now, so get your popcorn and your drinks and your snacks in the lobby, and previews start right now. We'll see you in there. Be right back. And welcome back.
Yes.
So yeah, we were wrong.
pretty much on all counts, right?
Let's see. Well, the second point is still a possibility, I guess.
I did mention Rintaro possibly being a meta fighter, but
yeah,
I don't know if we counted that one as a prediction.
Yeah, see, I was thinking Rintaro was the mystery metabot,
the mystery bot, yeah,
that we met at the beginning and in the end of the episode.
Mm.
That's who I was thinking was Rintaro. I'd forgotten about this kid.
He stole the show for me. But yeah, so when we open, Spike is training with Crosser Dog, which is a new metabot that he has taken the metal from Cyan Dog into. And he is training him to probably try to suck less. And while this is happening, they notice a mysterious red spiky metabot atop an electricity tower, which they still have. And he is...
I mean, they still have horse-drawn carriages.
That's also true.
So I'm pretty sure the only thing that's upgraded...
Is Metabots.
Yeah. Everything else is pretty much exactly as it was in the 21st century.
But yeah, so Crosser Dog and them are training. They see this mysterious Metabot, and as he's sort of, they're both worried for their livelihoods at the presence of this very imposing and, again, mysterious Metabot, they are instead struck by lightning.
Yeah.
And Spike and Crosser Dog are taken out of the equation for the moment. Then we get a little recap section where we see some shit that hasn't happened on screen for us yet, but...
Right. Yeah, Icky's telling Dr. Aki about some Metabots that ambushed him and Meta B. And if you recall, dear viewer, we are watching the U.S. release order of the episodes. So it is not clear to me if this is something that just in general... happened off screen, or if this was something that it was in a filler episode that we'll see. If I remember right, they just kind of just after I think this arc, they just kind of just bunched a bunch of filler episodes together and just threw them out between main arcs. So we may see this down the line and be very confused about why we're seeing this now, even though we referred to it in this episode. But yeah, so Icky and Meta B were ambushed by some Metabots. But as it turns out, the Metabot Corporation isn't the only one making Metabots these days, and they did not make these Metabots because they needed to finance a company jet. So
yeah.
they released.
They sold a portion of their proprietary software,
exactly,
or hardware.
Yeah,
to
they sold the patent.
Yeah. Very, very smart business decision whenever you do that. I guess they don't care. They've got the market cornered.
Yeah.
They probably own all the manufacturing anyway.
And then Erika and Icky spot Spike and Crosser Dog having been electrocuted when Sam accuses Icky of attacking Pepper Cat. And it seems that everybody in town thinks that Meta B has been attacking their Metabots unprovoked.
That's also let slip in the scene that Sam is taking ballet.
Yes.
Which is nice little detail. By the way, when we mentioned that all of the Metabots in town are like recovering from wounds after fighting Metabee. Mm-hmm. It's worth noting that they're all in bandages for some reason.
Well, yeah. They're like, hurt.
Yeah. Just the insistence on treating these robots like they have, like, human anatomy is... It tickles me to no end.
Meanwhile, Koji is knitting a scarf because he hasn't been challenged to a role battle since the rankings were announced. So he's bored and he's shearing all the sheep, which, again,
yeah,
there are sheep. And not, like, obviously, like, sheep been around for a long time. I imagine the sheep will hopefully be around in another 100 years. But the fact that there are just sheep in this, like, city or whatever where they live, that people just have sheep for Koji to shear and take their wool and knit a scarf out of is a thing, apparently.
Yes, we also know a character nervously knitting or crocheting is also sort of a filmic language for sexual repression. So,
oh, okay.
Let's layer that onto the reasons why Koji is unlikable.
And oh shit! So Rintaro is a kid.
Yes, Rintaro is a very small kid, but as we'll learn later, he's actually 4 months older than.
Ikki and Koji,
And Koji, which are, do they have the same birthday? I guess so, whatever.
Right. I mean, yeah, probably. And he has a KBT-type Metabot,
mm-hmm.
a newer model named Kantaroth.
Who has even more of a, like, AAE-affected sort of patois than Metabee does.
Yeah.
He's like, damn. It's very... It's problematic. I don't know why they have all of their Metabots with personalities like coded. I don't know. It's just.
Oh, okay. So, is Rokusho a Beetle type? Because he seems in general like Metabee.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so.
Because I'm wondering if KBT types in general, like the rare metal. Exacerbates Metabee's personality, but his base personality is still KBG. A black guy.
I guess so.
And that's just like a Beetle Metabot thing that they're all just.
It's not even like it's a black dude. It's like an imagined black dude. It's like how like mainstream media pretended black people talked in the 90s.
Right. It's Blackbot. So Mr. Referee shows up in a wig. Don't ask. We don't have time. Ikki and Metabee find Similodon and Kantaroth fighting. Kantaroth is winning, has taken out Similodon's leg, I believe. But Similodon interrupts Kantaroth's attack, and he misfires and attacks the referee, who cancels the fight.
Yeah, which honestly opens up a lot of questions to me. Like, there is collateral damage sometimes whenever they're fighting.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, how bad does that get? Because we've seen some wild shit happen. It's possible that people just die all the time.
Right, but the referee was never in danger.
Yeah, exactly. So,
the referee gets hurt in the fight. That'll come up later.
Mm-hmm.
At Rubber Robo HQ, we meet their. Personal Metabots, I don't remember any of their any of their names.
Yeah, I didn't write them down. I should have done that. Rakuto, Makuto, something like that.
Yeah, something
like that. Oh, there was White Sword. That's the only one I remember.
Yeah, and these were the Metabots that attacked Ikki and Metabee in the flashback that we saw. And then at the shop... Rintaro tells Ikki that some guy called the Phantom Metafighter dominated the Role Battle Championship 8 years ago, and his name was Henry.
We also see another silhouette of somebody with Henry's exact proportions and hairstyle.
Mm-hmm.
Leading, actually, Rintaro to suspect Henry for a moment until he realizes that Henry is not attractive enough to have been
right.
the Phantom. Oh, sorry, the Fanta.
Yeah, the Fanta Metafighter.
Metafighter.
Right. Oh, yeah, and Rintaro, Koji, and Ikki are fighting over Karen because Karen is...
babying.
Yeah.
She's into Shotas, all right? Very creepy.
But before they can roll battle, the Rubber Robos show up to steal Meta B's rare metal. And Shrimplips personally challenges Ikki to a roll battle.
Not as a member of the Rubber Robos, but
no.
As his actual identity, Shrimpy Lipowitz.
Yeah.
Fuck. Wait, does that mean that everybody else's names in the Rubber Robos are like some combination of words in their name?
Because
that'd be weird.
Yeah, probably.
For Cecil.
I don't remember. Seymour.
Seymour.
Definitely Seymour.
Slugworth.
Yes, I was going to say Slugworth. I honestly don't remember what the others' actual names are, but I'm putting money down now on Seymour Slugworth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Mr. Referee shows up in an ambulance to referee the 3-on-1 battle. The boys aren't working together, and Shrimplips...
3-on-3. As we mentioned,
yeah.
Koji and Rintaro throw their Metabots into the fight as well so that they can have a 3-on-3.
And so it's down to Meta B, and he gets his metal knocked out.
Yep.
Ikki tries to jump to his defense, but he's knocked down and Meta B's metal is stolen. And just as all hope seems lost, the Metabot that Spike saw at the beginning of the episode shows up, and we are left on a cliffhanger. And mm-hmm. that is the episode.
Yep. This is pretty fun, like part one of,
yeah.
of what seems to be at least a two-parter. We were a little bit in the dark at the, in the beginning, considering it opens on a non-sequitur scene, or what appears to be a non-sequitur scene, and then a flashback to events that we haven't seen yet.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever that happens, you're kind of just like, oh, did I miss something? But no, it latches together, manages to take... I bet that actually that scene with Dr. Aki was completely out of context from any of this stuff, and they just used it to patch in the previous information.
Yeah.
Because he just says he's flying away at the end of it. Which actually, do we want to do quotes or do we want to...
Yeah, go ahead and give me what quotes you got.
All right. So whenever Arika is talking about her coverage of Ikki being assaulted, she very deliberately keeps in all of the content of the story involving Ikki being a coward. And she mentions that the public doesn't need to know that he was ambushed by by ninja Metabots. Like, that's unimportant. What needs to be there is shots of the third best Metafighter in Japan running away scared. When Dr. Aki, you know, basically tells us he's not going to be in the episode anymore,
mm-hmm.
he says he's got to head to Belgium. He's hankering for some waffles. So he's so rich that he takes a fucking private jet to get waffles whenever he feels like it.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, that's a, I mean, let's see. They're in Japan, right?
Yeah.
That's like a nonstop flight. That's probably like 12 hours, something like that. 9, 12 hours.
Let's see.
I'll keep it going.
Yeah.
Again, we have bandages on robots. whenever Sam and what's the her bigger friend's name?
Oh crap, I can't remember.
For some reason, Spike and Sam are the only names they tend to say out loud.
Yeah,
but he mentions to try and reassure his boss that they will find Spike's attacker. yeah, he says he's in peak physical condition, which is. Maybe not the most apparent thing. Let's see. Yeah, Koji mentioning all the sheep in this town will be naked from him doing this. Whenever Meta B and Ikki see a crowd running to see quote unquote Meta B, in his fight, Medivh says, "Let's go teach me a lesson," which is pretty fun. So like kind of Marx Brothers sort of line there. Let's see. Oh yeah, Koji in his internal monologue whenever he's fighting Rintaro. Says, "I can't let this kid bag me up. I don't even know what that means." And then Kantaroth says, "Paper, plastic, or body bag?" Which is pretty silly. Let's see. What's the big Rubber Robo's name? Like the...
Oh,
it's not Sea Slug. It's... Oh, Eel Face or whatever. it's a urchin breath. Fucking cucumber feet.
Squid guts.
Squid guts. He yeah, he says yeah, boss, I'll help you get the rare meat. Meaning rare metal, accidentally saying that. It's pretty silly. Whenever Karen is lamenting at the boys fighting over her, she says, it's not worth it. And Arika, very jealous of Karen's treatment by the guys, says, "You said it, but I was thinking it." And then also, whenever fucking Shrimp Lips changes clothes, mm-hmm. Rintaro in perfect fucking... what's the... Oh, fuck, what is the... Rintaro seems like shonen. Yeah, he yeah. seems like he's straight out of a fucking shonen. He, we mentioned he kind of looks like the prototype drawings for the potential protagonist of this series. But anyways, he shouts, "He transformed!" whenever Shrimp Lips just changes clothes. It's pretty good. Yeah, there are a lot of one-liners in this one.
So Sloan is his name. And as far as direct flight from Tokyo to Brussels, 14 hours and 40 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd be so much hungrier by the time you got there.
Oh, for sure.
Are you just like going on like a waffle tour of Belgium? That I can understand if you're going to be there for like a whole weekend.
Right.
You're just like, let me taste all the Belgian waffles I possibly can.
So I guess we have, well, just one fight in this episode.
Mm.
Well, I guess we have two, technically. So, let's go, Kantaroth versus Smilodon.
Kantaroth versus Smilodon. I would say that was an exhibition. Not quite a bum fight, although it was very hectic and shitty like the other one. I would actually say that the second fight is a bum fight because basically our three protag metabots just fuck up the entire time and don't do anything of note.
Yeah.
They basically just fall on each other and then get their asses kicked.
And all of that taken into account,
mm-hmm.
this episode.
What was our middle one again?
Bender.
Bender. I'd say this is a bender. You know, there's nothing too wrong about it. The sheer amount of just like goofy one-liners really keeps the pace going.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the idea of it's very Dragon Ball Z what happens in this episode. It's like,
yeah,
we've got an alliance formed of unlikely friends. We've got our normal villain maybe getting away with like a victory. And then in the last minute, a surprise savior appears. The only difference is he's not returning from death. Yeah, I would say it's pretty good.
Okay, I'll agree with that. What, just out of curiosity, what knocks it down from an R2?
From an R2? I guess just the incompleteness. I mean, I think you could tell a two-parter and have both parts be R2s potentially, but I feel like inevitably you suffer from not having closure or from not having like your themes really present
mm-hmm.
whenever you have like just the, it's like you're ending the story at the second act, you know, it doesn't feel like anything can coalesce and it's,
right. Yeah. And in general, with this show, when it's two parters, it's like there's a way to do a multi-part thing where you stretch out the story across multiple episodes and it works and it's conclusive each episode while still having a thread hanging, but it often feels like you get to the end and like, oh, there's five more minutes to this story.
Yeah.
So we're gonna pick it up next week and tack that on to like and just kind of just like add some extra weight on onto it next week. Which can be like can still be an enjoyable episode, but
there's no arc.
Yeah.
There's no like end point. The only thing that really gets bookended is Spike being like, that's a weird looking Metabot, and then being like, oh hey, there's that Metabot again.
Right. Like I imagine when we get to like either the tournament or when things start to come to a head with the Rubber Robos and we get more multi part episodes, hopefully we'll kind of have a vibe going into the episode that, oh, this is gonna be a two or a three parter. But it kind of just feels like this felt like it would have been a normal episode until the last minute. And it's like, oh, it's over now.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll agree with it on those terms. So next week we're watching episode 20, The Ace from Outer Space.
Ooh.
Mm. Mm.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be the Space Fighter X, right?
Probably. Who knows? I do. We'll see you then. Until then, you can kiss your bots goodbye. Or pods, goddammit. Like and subscribe. Bye.